This is Purple Radio on demand.
Hi, I'm Louis.
And I'm Sam.
And welcome back to another episode of Chalkboard Ultra, investigating some of the most interesting problems in all of mathematics.
Oh, wow. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, 2024. I wonder what special thing that will bring. Is it going to bring anything special, Sam?
Oh, absolutely. We have got so much lined up for this new series. It's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Before we get into this podcast, though, let us just say thank you. Who to exactly? To everyone.
Everyone who has listened to the podcast, everyone who has been sharing our Instagram posts and such, and everyone who's actually come onto the pod so far. We've had Adam, we've had Claire, we've had Chris on the show, and we have lots and lots of other special guests lined up for the future, which we're both really, really excited about.
Yeah, investigating some of the most interesting problems is just one thing of Chalkboard Ultra. It's also investigating some of the most interesting people and their stories. And this has definitely opened our eyes to many areas of mathematics that we definitely haven't thought about before.
And I actually got the chance to interview some great people who organized a competition called Le Maths. And we'll get onto the episode in just a sec. It was a recording that was done without Louis, unfortunately. Couldn't be here for it. But we still have fun anyway. And it was an hour and a half of really, really fun recording, which I've had to painstakingly whittle down to about, I don't know, 40, 45 minutes. But it's meant that some vital information has been lost. So I'm going to start the episode with some pre-knowledge. So you're going in with a little bit of stuff. So Le Maths is a competition, maths competition. And Louis and I were actually a team in the first year, weren't we?
Indeed we were. It was quite an experience. I've never really done that before. Do I want to do it again? Not really, no, but I've ascended from participant to writer.
Yes, so, you have, and yes. That does get mentioned, luckily. And what was our team name?
Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk, spelled with an E on the end, in appreciation of Jens Funk, one of Durham's greatest mathematicians. And it was a fairly small competition. And what place did we come? Do you remember?
Was it fourth or fifth?
It was fifth. Fourth was a team called Amogaus. Because Among Us was a, you know, a thing. And to put a mathematician Gauss into there, Amogaus. So that's all you need to know. Louis and I were in a team in the very first year when it piloted Uptown Funk, and Amogaus beat us coming fourth. So there you go. Let's get on with the episode. Welcome back to the wonderful world of Chalkboard Ultra. My name is Sam, and unfortunately we don't have Louis here for the first episode of the series. But fear not, I am joined by a lovely group of people. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Yes, I am Morgan Kendall. I'm a third year math and statistics student. Good friend of Louis, but it's not a shame that he's not here.
You're not a good friend of mine. You're just here. No, I know you.
Yeah, I know you. But yeah, I'm a third year math and statistics student. And what we're going to be talking about today is I'm one of the co-founders of Le Maths.
Hello there. I'm Sam Shepherd. I'm also a third year maths student, not a stats student. I've got a life.
I can.
And yeah, I'm an algebra nerd, and I write Le Maths questions on analysis that nobody does. It's a dreadful shame.
Yeah, same. I'm also a maths student. I don't do statistics. Sadly, I can't claim I have a life. Also the president.
In that Venn diagram, yeah. You're just on the outside. There's math student statistics has a life.
And I mean,
just...
like, the very next thing I'm going to say is that I'm the president of the Problem Solving Society, which is evidence of the fact that I don't have a life. So,
yeah. But you're doing something great for the community.
But we solve problems that don't exist. So, yeah.
Isn't that what math is all about, really?
Exactly.
Solving problems that don't exist. Fair enough. Yeah, we're going to have some fun talk about Le Maths, and it's going to be great. Right, so as Morgan mentioned, that we're going to be talking about something called Le Maths, which is known in the maths department, so this great big competition.
I didn't know it was known in the maths department.
Okay, well maybe it's known in the maths department, but it's known in around some people who are active in the math community, the math society, but for everyone else who's listening, what is it? What's it all about?
So Le Maths is a competition that's all about, I always dub it as academic endurance. it's a competition basically about getting the team together and doing something. Like, you always see people do crazy physical challenges, like, oh, I'm gonna go run across this whole country, or I'm gonna go cycle, I'm gonna do a 24-hour football challenge. Well, why don't we do something with academics? So we just thought 24-hour math competition, get people in a room doing math 24 hours. What could possibly be better than that?
Well, that's the thing, because you see lots of math challenges like the Olympiad, or even there's the UKMT, right? That they do things for lots of high school and sixth form students, but there aren't that many endurance ones.
The idea of it is also like it's a completely different sort of challenge. Like, yeah, you're going to have your hard questions and those sort of like difficult challenges that you're going to get in any problem solving math competition. But with this, it's about how long can you maintain that sort of level of performance, and also how are you going to strategize? Because there's a whole layer of strategy within Le Maths. It's a team of four, well, up to four, you can have less, but the team of up to four, and you take it one at a time in terms of scribing. So you're only allowed to write for a certain small period of time, and you rotate between your teams. You've got to strategize who does what question, what times do you do each question? Do you do the easy questions when you're awake and alert and get them all done? Do you do the hard questions when you're awake and alert, and then grind the easy arithmetic questions in the middle of the night? So there's so much layers of strategy to it. It's a really complex challenge.
That's the thing, because with the Olympiad, you've got very, very difficult questions. But is there a range of difficulty with these ones?
Yeah, so the difficulty ranges. So it goes all the way from arithmetic, though, to like difficult integration, difficult university-style maths, and then even beyond that occasionally we have a special section which has questions ranging on problem solving, but also some really difficult maths that you may not ever really encounter at university.
Yeah. So do you independently write the statistics section then?
In previous years, yes. Not this year, for reasons I'll get into later on.
Okay.
But Louis's taken over this year, in fact.
Oh, great.
Your very own podcast host.
Our dear absent Louis.
I know, so sad. And where do you come into this, Finn? Were you here for the grand revealing of, or grand opening of Le Maths?
I'm in charge of integrals, just like I was last year. A guy from UC Berkeley, who wrote the Berkeley Integration B, he's actually helping me with that.
Oh my God. So did you get in touch with him?
Yeah, I just met him through the UK Integration B Discord server.
Nice.
Yeah. He's a very, very talented problem writer. So this year should be pretty interesting. We also did it so that this year there's a lot more kind of guidance as to how you do the questions. Last year there was like a lot of complaints because I think integrals were very difficult because a lot of people just aren't acquainted with the strategies that you need to solve them.
They've not all watched that black pen, red pen video that tells you how to do.
The difference between myself and the average mathematicians is probably about 1,000 hours of black pen, red pen.
So, I mean, you might be on the same page then.
But this year, we've included black pen, red pen in the form of little red boxes throughout the...
Cute.
We've got lots of little boxes of different colors. We've got red, we've got green, we've got blue, we've got violet. Violet's my favorite.
Wow. So the colors represent how much misery you're supposed to have. When
looking at it. No, but it's different types of box. We've gone up in the world since you left us, Morgan.
How did Le Maths come about then? What was the idea?
So, I mean, for me, it's a little bit of a funny story. So, first weekend back of first term, had a little bit too much to drink. That whilst I was lying in bed, really ill, I was just kind of thinking, I'm not going to get any work done today. So I just put the TV on. I was just browsing YouTube, see what I could watch. And I'm a massive motorsport fan. I always have been since I was a kid. And I saw a virtual 24 Hours of Le Mans, which is the motorsport race, which this like event is kind of named after. So I was kind of watching that and I was like, you know what would be really fun? It would be to do that virtual race. Obviously I don't have any racing equipment, any sort of Xbox to like with a wheel to do that and get involved. So I was like, okay, I can't do that. What's another 24 hour event that could be made? And I was like, a running event, I'm a big runner. No, that's too much. It was like, maths. I could do math for 24 hours. That'd be a fun idea. And obviously watching this, I was like, well, Le Maths sounds like a good name.
Yeah.
So I think I just went to Sam. Genuinely, I think a little bit of a joke, like just kind of like mentioned it to him that evening. Be like, oh yeah, what do you think of a 24-hour math competition called Le Maths? And he was surprisingly keen. And I mentioned it to a few others.
Obviously, like being like an incredibly autistic math student. I couldn't tell it was a joke.
Yeah, well, it was, but I was when you were on board, I was like, well, I would want to do this if you, like, I just assumed I would say it to you, but, and so then we laughed off and we'll be like, all right.
I don't know if you remember, but initially we were just planning as something we would do with our friends.
Yeah, I remember college. That.
And then we spoke to our friends on the bar and said, so we were like, okay, guys, we've got this brilliant idea. It's 24-hour maths challenge. What do you say?
So, yeah, from there, I think we then just ended up going to MathSoc, and like we thought, oh, we need a little bit of support. So we went to MathSoc, pitched the idea. They were somewhat keen. And then from there, they helped write some questions, and then me and Sam were mainly on writing questions and organisation of it. And from there, we had six teams in the first year. It was kind of like a little bit of a small event in the first year, but then second year...
It was so comically badly run because
I was
writing the solutions to the physics paper on the morning of the event. In fact, I think I changed some of the physics questions the night before because I realised I didn't actually have solutions to them.
And there was the whole, you might remember this, the chemistry cafe library.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. The fact that we had to move venues six times.
It wasn't fake.
It felt like it.
I think it was once from Elvet to the library to chemistry cafe to Elvet. It was three times. Second year, though, we booked out the maths department, had a bit of a budget to spend, which we didn't have in the first year, to actually make the event what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's what, I mean, Dumps has really come into clutch there. They really helped support the event and get it to where it is now. We had 17 teams, one venue for the whole event, and a really positive atmosphere around it all.
So overall, yeah, massive thank you to the Dumpsters.
Le Maths is one thing. It's a great competition. So thanks, Morgan and Sam, for the idea. But another one I want to talk about that Finn, I know you're heavily involved in, is Dumps, right?
Well, we actually had to change the name because
no one wants to sponsor.
They changed it to Oomps.
Yes. No one wants to sponsor Dumps. A lot of professors, every time I got an email from them, they'd say, sorry, Finn, I just couldn't resist the acronym Dumps. I deliberately write Durham University Mathematical Problem Solving.
Right.
And they'd say Dumps, which, what it was. I think like when we were advertising in first year, we asked freshers to go to the Dumps taster session.
The Dumps taster session.
And we had like a really big turnout, I think for that reason. And people just kind of arrived and then they started doing these logic problems, just completely blindsided by them. And they found themselves actually interested in them. It's kind of the role of the society is we kind of get all these creative minds together and we function as a sort of community. So everyone can share and collaborate on these ideas. So the reason why we started actually was because we wanted to do some kind of competition maths outside of, like beyond the high school level.
Yep.
A lot of math students at Durham, they actually participate in things like the BMO and UKMT. And I saw that a lot of people were kind of upset that there wasn't much exposure for competition maths within higher education. So we did some research, and sure enough, there's a lot of that. There's the International Maths Competition, which is held in Bulgaria every August. There's the Imperial College Maths Competition, which happened earlier last term. There's the Integration B. There's a lot of stuff going on. So our society kind of just brings that to Durham.
Mm-hmm. Have a Dumps ever had an international mathlete yet?
Well, Max and I went to the International Maths Competition in the first year. So although I got a score of 8 out of 80. I was still pretty proud of myself. I got to meet a lot of extremely talented people as well.
Yeah.
Is that their qualification? Like you have to qualify to get to that competition?
No, you don't. You can just kind of show up, but it is in person. So it's fairly expensive. So this year we've looked into trying to get funding for that. So I've just been corresponding with Douglas Smith, who's the head of our maths department. And I've just asked him for help with, just money. So hopefully around 6 students from Durham can qualify and go there. And we've got some backing from the professors as well. So Professor Mandrill, who does algebra ENT last year as well, he's actually going to be helping us run some training sessions for that.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, it is brilliant. So beyond like competition maths, we kind of want to expose problem solving to the general populace. And, you know, like UK universities are kind of a great avenue for doing that because everybody here loves shows like Countdown. Puzzles in general kind of bring everyone in the UK together. And that was something I found really interesting when I moved here because I was originally not from the UK. So my first year here was the first time I had actually lived in the UK.
Right.
And I was surprised to see that everybody does these kind of puzzles regularly. Pub crawls are a big part of the culture here. Not pub crawls. Pub quizzes yes. are a big part of the culture here.
Bar crawls, pub crawls are also a big part of culture in the UK.
Yeah, and we have made questions about that fact in the past. anyways, so we found that like logic wasn't a big part of them, but people are very interested in it, and they often lead to very creative avenues for solutions to problems that you may have thought doesn't have a more kind of easy way of looking at it. I can give you a very simple example of that. So this result's actually called the Jordan curve theorem in mathematics. Essentially, what a Jordan curve is it's a line that's non-intersecting and it's closed. So basically think of a loop.
Yeah, okay.
Right, and the Jordan curve theorem says that the loop divides the plane into two sections.
That being the inside and the outside.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh. So like there's a lot of history in this, but a lot of mathematicians couldn't agree on a rigorous proof for that. So what I've just stated there is like the simplest version of the Jordan curve lemma, the theorem. It extends to higher dimensions as well.
Yeah. I see. Because one's quite easy to visualize. It's just proof by looking at it. Like, look, I have this loop. There's an inside, there's an outside. But obviously in mathematics, you don't just talk about the simple case. You use the simple case to help you understand the higher dimensional cases.
Yeah. But when Jordan first proposed it and he provided his own proof, the mathematicians couldn't agree on whether it was rigorous or not. So they came up with other proofs. But then in the 20th century, Fields medalists went back and looked at it and they just said, I couldn't find something objectively wrong with Jordan's proof.
And those are the type of problems you want to introduce people to just actually use logic.
Exactly. And people are, they look at that kind of stuff and they don't know how to do them initially. But once they hear the solution, everyone kind of finds joy in the fact of the elegance of that solution.
Yeah.
And it's extremely out of the box as well. So that's kind of what we're striving for with the general problem solving sessions that we run on every Friday.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that we did last term was the Durhunt event. We have a series of puzzles and you get in groups and you try to work through your puzzles. And every time you complete a puzzle, you unlock the next one.
Okay.
And the puzzles join up to form meta puzzles, which are themselves other puzzles they have to solve. The maths questions, there's going to be the special section where perhaps problems like that will appear.
Yes.
But for the most part, I think linear algebra, I've tried to keep it very much similar to like kind of book work that you'd see inside of your typical linear algebra course.
Yeah.
There will be a couple questions in there that are worth a little bit more marks. Yeah. But for the most part, you'll be able to do all of them if you just know your linear algebra well.
Very good.
I think the integrals are probably where problem solving kind of mainly plays a role.
Yeah.
But I have done my best to guide people through techniques that they may not have seen before.
Louis and I were actually on a team in Le Maths in our first year, which is great. Now that's when it piloted, right? It was 2 years ago when it piloted.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of us have now moved on. There are some recurring teams, some of them third years. Are you still going to just keep it as first year level questions, or are you going to have some available for third years?
So something we're playing with this year is more sort of pushing the envelope a bit. So something I've been doing is I've been writing questions that bring in sort of second, third year content, but in a way that should be equally manageable for all. So for example, like people who took the now non-existent, upsettingly, geometric topology 2 will be familiar with the premise, but the concepts there are new to them.
Yeah,
They haven't seen them before. That's what I've been trying to do. We do that a bit with physics as well. We try to take new contexts, but with where the maths involved is sort of first year standard. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's the thing we're much more conscious of this year, is that for harder techniques, you do need to provide more guidance. So that's something I've put a bit more effort into.
Yeah, I mean, what I was difficult convinced. In the first year as well is that, because we were writing it during Epiphany term, me and Sam at least, we were still doing first year.
So yeah, of course.
We hadn't actually, like maybe that like probability, for example, we'd finish that course by that time, but like analysis, we haven't finished.
Well, I wasn't doing analysis that year. It was the second year writing it.
Oh yeah, of course.
We had about 20 questions. They're a bit mixed.
But still, like it was like actually a bit of a struggle on that front, and obviously therefore there were things that probably were in it a bit more than they should have been because we hadn't actually finished the course of certain things. Yeah. That like week 17 stuff just didn't appear, sort of thing. And that, to be fair, actually, is probably the only disadvantage. Going back to what you said earlier in terms of disadvantage, that's the only disadvantage first years have. There might be stuff that is at the end of their course that does sneak into the paper. Yeah. But.
Like, I don't imagine in the calculus section you'll do anything on Fourier transforms because the first years will have just never seen that before.
There are Fourier transforms in there.
Fourier series, fine, but Fourier transforms.
To all first-year listeners, please revise
this year, and
transforms.
The first There's question. A lot of
sorry, we haven't put them in order yet.
Okay. Because I looked at physics and it's a Fourier transform question and it looks like a ton of reading, and then
oh no,
Can I just say it was one mark for you?
It was one mark.
Oh no, I haven't assigned the marks either. That will probably be like 18 marks.
I discerned that like towards.
Can I just say for the listeners listening to this, do not be scared by these two idiots attempt to try and put you off.
Yeah, don't worry. The sections that we don't write are piss easy.
And you also don't have to answer every question to win. Like, I think winning percentage last year was 50. About 42%.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, in terms of, like, questions correctly answered. So
also, the thing
don't
about,
be scared.
The thing about, at least the way I've written analysis, is it's kind of, like, up until about, like, the 15 mark point, it's manageable, and then after 15 marks, that's where it jumps up in difficulty.
Yeah.
If you do like the sum of the natural numbers between 1 and 15, multiply it by 2, that's still quite a lot of marks. So, yeah. So like if you can do the first 30 questions, you're good.
Now, Uptown Funk has had to do some recruits over the years because we started with me and Louis, one of my, now housemates, but good friend Jacob Harris, and another student who wasn't, I think there was a question they did in their arithmetic section that involved the choose function. Now, to those who understand the choose function, when you write it in a paper, you use brackets. So if you wanted to figure out 5 choose 2, you'd have 5 on top of 2 in a set of brackets. And it was like, oh, I don't even know, 29,000 times 8 choose 3. And he just thought it was a vector.
Oh, no.
And so he just did 29,000 times 8 and then 20,000 times 3 in a vector. Anyway, so
I'll be honest, I'm just trying to think. I think you guys weren't the only one that submitted vectors at times. I think I remember seeing vectors when marking arithmetic and be like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Without actually making that connection that people might actually think that.
Yeah, so we tried to advocate for them. You were like, nope.
No,
I'm not having that. Well, whoever marked it, I don't know. So we kicked him from the team. And Louis also probably didn't want to do it the next year. So I recruited 2 others, one of my good friends from the jazz band, Oliver, and Josh, who is an engineer.
There's a physics question he's going to love.
Yeah. Well, he's not in the team this year.
Oh.
Purely because he didn't want to do any of the university level stuff. Because it like no analysis, no calculus, no linear algebra. No, but we gave him the A level questions, and he screwed us so bad. It's because he was like, I've not done A level in 2 years. We're like, we know, like none of us have.
But surely you continue using some of those skills in engineering.
Apparently not, and so we've not kicked him from the team. We just haven't told him that
you just haven't invited him back.
Yes. And so we've got another fellow friend from the math department, Tom Johnson, and Uptown Funk are going to come back better than ever. And
you're going to come fourth?
We're going to. It's not. The only thing we care about, I think, is beating Amerigas this year, or at least not coming fifth. We're either come fifth and Amerigas do not come fourth, or higher, or we just beat Amerigas in general. Because I think it'll be just a funny bit if we keep on coming fifth. And we just don't change from that.
Are you training?
Are we train? What, training's come fifth or just training in general?
Both.
No, I am. I do a couple integrals a day just to keep me on my toes. Not anyway, as in I'm doing it in profession for this. Yeah, calculus is my thing. Basic calculus anyway. So like just doing derivatives and integration. Yeah. I think doing hard integrations though, that does require some skill. So I want to be able to look at them and just know exactly what to do. In terms of attempts, like how did the first attempts of Le Maths compare to what it is now, both in terms of writing and teams?
I'd say the first attempt was a lot more rushed. In terms of the planning, the organization, the question writing, everything kind of was strapped together. We came up with the concept at literally the start of this term, and it happened at the end of the equivalent term, the epiphany term.
Right.
So essentially it was an idea that that went from nothing to paper to actual, like, the event within 7-8 weeks. So writing the questions, organizing venues, organizing signups, organizing advertisement, all of that was done in a really rushed way, in a really quick way to get it done and like treat it like a trial event. And then the second year we planned it well in advance, and this year even more so in terms of how early we started planning it and starting the question writing, starting the organization of booking venues, etc., signups, etc. So all of it's just become a lot more organized, structured. And then in terms of the actual event itself, I guess every time we're constantly learning about what the best way is, just to do small things like putting the our social media, for example, which we didn't do in first year, and it was a huge oversight to not think, oh, I should take some pictures of this event.
Yeah.
And then
just have a record of it. Maybe the first time just didn't exist. Like, yeah, that was there.
To be fair, according to all social medias and stuff, the first time may as well have not existed.
That's true. The only recollection we have is perhaps Amogos.
And Amogos.
Oh, with Uptown her memes.
Yeah.
Memes. But I think Uptown Funk only did the Instagram in second year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when I was looking for advertisement content for the second year, last year, I did have to look through, quite embarrassingly, the Amogos Instagram account for a lot of the content. So thank you to them if you're listening.
Yeah.
You really saved the advertisement on second year.
I have a personal rivalry with Amogos because they came fourth in the first year.
Yep.
Then the second year of Le Maths, there were a lot more teams. How many teams were it?
17.
17.
So a huge number, which was...
Uptown Funk still came fifth, which is amazing. And Amogos were fourth.
Again.
Again. So we want to beat them this year. Yeah.
And I mean, I will mention, in terms of the results last year, I wasn't surprised, but at the same time, it was like, kind of, you could see all the teams that had done it before, or the people who'd done it before, right all in the top six, seven positions. And then, like, the people who hadn't done it before... below that, like, it's such like a difficult event, and you can tell experience really came to the forefront there.
I like that you said that it's math endurance, because and again that it's not all about winning. Some people did there's some people that have taken that to the extreme. You mentioned in the introduction that teams of up to four. Now that suggests that there can be teams of one.
Technically,
tell us about that.
So last year, we had a guy, Wojciech, who...
Yeah, our very own Wojciech from our exec this year. He ended up doing, like, the first 18 hours, I think.
It was 20, I thought.
It was about 20 until he dropped.
The last 2 hours we don't count because he started playing League of Legends. and then he just said, guys, I'm going to fall asleep, bye. And then he just left. But he was actually first.
He was leading the first three odd hours completely by himself. Because obviously I mentioned in the introduction, you can only have one scribe at a time. But communication from your whole team is allowed. So your teammates can help you come up with ideas to solve questions. But he was doing it completely by himself and was leading some really top mathematicians for quite a few hours. It was extremely impressive what he did. And even, I think at the end, I think he was eighth. I need to double check. I think he was like eighth. Or he was still like... solid mid-pack, considering everything, and he dropped out with 6 hours to go.
I think the way that's worked is because you're not getting in the headspace of anyone else. You just put on your headphones, noise-cancelling headphones or something, and just get into your own space and just answer questions. And you only stop when you're tired.
So his miscalculation was he had planned for this before. He actually did a trial run.
No!
I was not aware of this trial run.
So he calculated that he needed 1 kilo of chicken to get him get himself through the entire event.
What?
Yeah, so he cooked 1 kilo of chicken before showing up.
Just raw chicken,
but like he brought in a kilo of cooked chicken and barbecue sauce. And then he thought that that would satiate him for the entire event and that would give him energy. What he didn't count on was the fact that when you actually do work, you consume more calories.
Whoa, so hang on.
He ended up doing lightning. No, it's like that thing that
chess players.
Chess players, right? If you measure the calorie consumption of two chess players over the like a 4-hour period. It's the same as going on a 10K run.
Yeah, because their brain is just working so hard to go through all the possibilities of moves. It's insane.
And I think Matt's is like very much the same. Yeah. Because he was just grinding out like those mental math questions just at the start of the event, which is how he pulled ahead. But yeah, so he didn't count on that. And so he ran through his 1 kilo of chicken in the first 12 hours of the event, and he had no food after that point. And yeah, so 6 hours later, he just kind of fell off. Yeah.
It was quite upsetting.
He is coming back again, so he'll know to bring 2 kilos of chicken. Yeah, no,
as a solo, again.
As a solo.
A question about the competition in general. Has anything gone wrong or better than expected? You know, opposite ends of the spectrum.
Should we start with the bad?
Red Bull.
I mean, yes, but there was an attempt to link up.
Yeah,
with them,
I tried very hard to get Red Bull to sponsor us this year.
Really?
Yeah, there is a correspondent who represents Red Bull at Durham, and he just does not reply.
Are they the one that drives around the Red Bull Mini?
I think he's like the leader of that team.
Wow.
So I just walked into him like in the street, and I just started talking about Le Mans with him. And he was very enthusiastic in person, but he does not check his inbox. So I guess,
or he ignored you.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's going to be happening this year. Yeah. No.
But I mean, I was going to mention the controversial change in the 22nd hour last year. Last year, this is something I will publicly apologize for. It was just something that came to my head. I was like, you know what would be funny? Because basically, it was a rule that you, when you submit an answer, you can't resubmit. Like, that's it. The question's gone.
Yeah.
The idea in hour 22 to spice up the competition a bit was that.
Can I just say this was an idea that was never shared with
me? Sam was not involved here. Again, public apology. But we basically were like, oh, yeah, let's last 2 hours, let's reset, let's allow them to have a go at this question again. Not realizing and not thinking it through for any more than 20 minutes or 10 and just going straight for it, not thinking about the consequences that had. And there was some like true or false questions.
it gets worse than that. Because on certain questions, like I was just sat there. I'd been giving people feedback on their answers.
So you see, this is something that we, that was a mistake, and we learned from that, and I don't think that anything like that's going to happen again. And if it is, it will be written in the rules before the start of the event, and everyone will be made aware that this could happen.
Actually, even better than that, I'd actually sat down with one team member and gone through a question with him.
So that's bad. The good, let's move on to the good. I do publicly apologize for that, and Finn was partially involved, but it was my idea.
This year I won't be running office hours.
Okay. But the good though is, like, generally the event has grown so much, and we've had so much enthusiasm for the fundraising last year as well.
Yeah.
So we raised money for Alzheimer's Research.
Yeah, do you want to talk more about the fundraising?
Yeah. So last year we raised money for Alzheimer's Research UK. In the first year we thought about trying to fundraise for Cancer Research UK. We never really got much going with that, but second year we were like, right, we need to properly push the fundraising a bit more. Me and Sam just discussed charities, and I know it's one that's close to Sam's heart, Alzheimer's, so we just thought, you know what, let's go for this one and really get push behind it. So we were sharing all the information about Alzheimer's. So for those who don't know what Alzheimer's is it's a degenerative disease that kind of affects older people, especially when it comes to memory, losing memory, very similar to dementia.
Wait, how much did you raise last year?
Yeah, so last year we raised over £2,500. I can check it was 2,238, but then we had a couple more donations come in from another team, which was over £300. So
wow.
The final figure was over £2,500.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for doing that. Yeah. Congratulations.
And then this year as well, we aim to raise money for County Durham Community Foundation, which is a foundation that basically, in a way, the best way I can describe them is they're a charity of charities. So all the local charities that you'll never really raise money for but really need it locally, like schools, nurseries, healthcare centres, community centres, gyms and stuff that, like, very public services, food banks obviously as well, things that you may not donate directly to, this is a foundation where you can donate to them and they'll distribute it to who needs it.
Right.
For example, they've done so many things for food banks. At the moment, they're doing their Poverty Hurts appeal, which is essentially they're highlighting the issues of poverty around County Durham. And the reason behind why we went for them is that we thought we really want to go somewhere local. We raised for Alzheimer's Research UK last year, which is great. It'll be nice to help the local community. There is a bit of a barrier at times between students and locals in Durham.
Yeah.
And it'll be nice to at least like somewhat give back to what this area has provided for all of us.
That's a fantastic course, fantastic reasoning as well.
It's also nice. You get to, like, people who donate will get to see a real effect as to what their money is actually going towards.
Oh, yeah, that, obviously that's live totally here, right. Yeah.
Exactly. And I know that when we set up the fundraiser, I will be able to ask, look, where's this money gone? And they will tell me.
Yeah.
So I will be able to share on the social medias, this is what we've managed to do, this is who we've helped, etc. So be really good.
One thing I'll never forget is in the first year, all of the questions ranged from like 1 to 20 marks, fine. Then in the special problems, oh, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? There was a 100 mark question. That was this absolutely disgusting limit of an infinite product.
Yep.
And I couldn't get it. And I asked you afterwards, I remember asking you afterwards, what is the answer? And you gave me the answer. It was something like 2/E. That was just the answer. And
yeah,
with no idea how to do it.
Because it was copied off a YouTube video.
It's a Putnam problem.
Yeah.
Well,
I can describe how you do it.
No, don't need to, because in the first term, this is why I recruited Tom as the new member of Uptown Funk. I was telling him about the maths and I showed him this problem and he was like, why don't you do that? And I think, oh. And so we just turn around, there's a huge whiteboard behind us and we both write down this limit and then figure out together. And we actually got to the answer.
You got the answer?
We got the answer. 18 months later, we got the answer. So
fortunately, it's not 18 hours of LeMath. So,
18 months of LeMath, no, unfortunately.
Oh yeah,
not.
18 months. Yeah.
It is 18 hours.
I mean, yeah, 18 hours.
For what jacket it was.
So. Yeah, great. And what is the future of LeMath then? Because I know you're only doing 3 years, Morgan, and so are you going to hand the baton to someone else? What's going to happen?
Well, I mean, partially that's been done already. Podcast exclusive. I'm actually not writing questions this year. I'm not involved in the evil stuff they're doing because I'm actually taking part. I thought final year, me and Sam obviously have both built this competition up, but it was my final chance. I was like, I really want to have a go at this. So I've kind of handed the baton over to both of those guys.
Yeah, and on the other hand, I really don't want to have a go at it because I like sleep.
Yeah. So what are you doing solo? Have you got a team? What's going
on? So getting a team together with me and a couple friends, one of which has already done it in the first year. He was part of the team that came last in the first year.
Good old Schrodinger's slappers.
So big things are coming. It'll be fun though. I'm really looking forward to the challenge. I have no idea, bar what has been said on this podcast, regarding the questions, I have no idea what's going on.
Right.
Mm. I'm organizing some of the logistics still. I'm still involved in the team on that aspect in terms of organizing.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, we've just created a separate group chat where we can talk about questions and bitch about Morgan.
It's called Morganant.
Because he's not in it. I love that.
And then there is like a group chat talking about all the boring admin, logistics, sign-ups. I'm still organising all of that.
Oh, great. Well, do you hope that, you know, once all of us graduate anyway in the next couple of years, that it carries on as a thing?
That would be great if it did, yeah.
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 Now, to give me and Morgan a bit of a jump up then, are there any hints?
I'm not quite so sure what I should say. I think with the, like, university topics, because we're doing a topic for every first-year math module, with the exception of discrete math, it's just, if you know your content, then you're probably going to do quite well.
That's all right, then.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe skim over your notes.
No. You get blind.
I don't know. I'd say two things, really. Firstly, on physics representative, don't be scared by the physics questions, because the thing about the physics questions is, compared to like the integration questions, you look at the pages and like, or if you look at the contents page, integration is 110 questions, but like only over like less than 10 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Physics is like over way more than that, probably like 20 by the time we're finished, but only 40 questions. And the thing is, like, the whole point of physics is it's not just a calculation. It's about taking the context and building up the mathematical case behind mm-hmm. it. And a lot of people in previous years have looked at that and thought, oh my God, what is going on? because we'll introduce different things, like we'll bring in a bit of quantum mechanics here, a bit of electricity there, even a bit of thermodynamics from time to time. And I think people look at that and think, God, I don't know about electricity. But as we were discussing earlier, it's just a Fourier transform, but slightly fancy. So right. Don't be put off by that. The maths is probably more manageable than any other section. You just have to figure out what to do.
Very good. I like those tips and tricks. And in terms of team names, I was going to ask, this is the surprise question. If you three were on a team, what would your team name be? But then, Morgan, you're obviously going to be in a team.
Well, I haven't. We're still discussing our name.
Is it going to be lecturer-related? Because we've had many of those.
Because we're kind of floating around loads of ideas in terms of, like, a lot of other Breaking Bad fans, so I won't lie, a lot of them have been on that sort of
line. There was Heisenberg last year.
Yeah, they were my favourite team name, just because I am too obsessed with Breaking Bad. But yeah, a lot of just random in-jokes floating around. I genuinely don't know what we're going to call ourselves.
There were lecture-related ones. I mean, Uptown Funk for myself. We had Goodwill Hunting
first year. Yeah.
The Lobsters.
The Lobsters, that's right.
That's one of my favourites.
Yeah, they were great.
Mm. Actually, I think one thing I want to point out about the strategy, I think the main goal of the competition is not to win. It's to raise as much money as possible.
So of course. We can't forget about the whole charity.
Definitely what I'd do is market yourself on social media. That way you can get people, like, you can address people in your friend group and, like, other friend groups and make yourself into a meme or something. Yeah, so just try to market yourself as much as possible and see, like, how much money you'd be able to raise for the Durham Foundation.
Well, after what feels like 24 hours of talking, God, I'm going to have to do a lot of sifting through this.
just for the listeners, we have been about an hour and a half here. You've probably not listened to an hour and a half of content, but no. it's been a while.
No. Well, unlike on the event, we've had to terminate this episode at some point. Thank you so much to you guys, Finn, Sam and Morgan, for coming on, agreeing to talk about Le Maths. It's a wonderful thing. And I think I'm taking part in the event this year, and I think Lou is going to interview me like halfway through, so just to how I'm doing to put in at the end of one of the future episodes that come up. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. And if anyone's interested in signing up for Le Maths, if you check out at Le Maths 2024 on Instagram, we have sign up links up there. Sign ups are open until the 26th of January, but we could close them early if we hit capacity. So get signed up quick. The event is on the 10th to 11th of February. The actual start time is 2:00. And obviously finishes at 2:00 on the Sunday.
Yeah, very good. Well, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Keep safe and keep well. That's the thing, because with the Olympiad, you've got very, very difficult questions. But is there a range of difficulty with these ones?
Yeah, so the difficulty ranges all the way from basic arithmetic, 2 + 2, what is that, 4? And then
it's 5, but I've been told we're not allowed to discuss politics here.
I think Louis's not here, you can maybe a little bit.
Excellent.
No, I think, isn't there like a 100-page long proof document as to why 2 + 2 does equal 4?
Yeah, Bertrand Russell. It's not technically 100 pages proving that. I think it's the build-up to that proof.
Right.
It's
what do they say in this proof beyond? Oh, you have two numbers, you add them.
It's all basically building up from the foundations of mathematical logic and set theory.
It's 100 pages of mathematical foreplay.
Heaven, right?
So good.
It is, yeah. I don't know where we were.
So go from arithmetic, basic, well, not 100-page foreplay, but, you know, easy
is
questions
maths
on
just
paper.
100 pages of foreplay? easy arithmetic, and it leads up to special.
we're currently past 140 pages, actually, so it's...
Wow. Riveting.
Like, move over Bertrand Russell.
Purple Radio Podcasts. Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.